24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked. Keep it locked. Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything. 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 Everything.
Profanity Nation.
Yeah, it's the new era of man for some old school fans with a new school brand. We got money on the mic with the plan in hand. And Stat Pat to his left, they go hand in hand. And to the right, we got Simpster, he putting it down. It's the Profanity Nation, we running the town, yeah.
It's the Profanity Nation.
Profanity Nation.
Welcome to the Profanity Nation podcast. We have Stat Pat, Money Mike, and Simpster here. Let's get right into it, guys. Leading into All-Star break, impressive win in Denver. 120-116 Lakers win. Go into the All-Star break with an incredible record of 41-12. What are you thinking, guys? How do you feel? Looking good?
I mean, the record's good. Yeah. still not convinced. You know, we're playing good basketball, but I'm still not seeing that domination, like, feel like we really about to take it to them, you know. But you know, the record's good. That's all I'll say about that.
That was a good win. They came in and they won. They took it. Denver is a hard place to win. Denver is not easy to win, and they're playing good. I thought they really, you know, played a good game. I thought they took it to them. I thought they played a good game.
Yeah, I mean, it was a win on the road against a playoff team that we will probably more likely meet or probably meet in the playoffs. So, and I think, you know, Dwight Howard had a pretty good game off the bench, you know. It was a lot of unsung heroes that actually helped out for that win. And of course, LeBron and AD, you know, closing it out, you know, in the fourth quarter in overtime.
Welcome to the Profanity Nation podcast. We're joined by Money Mike, Stat Pat, and yours truly, Simsta. We're going to talk about the Lakers. We're going to talk about our break. We're going to talk a little bit about the Kobe tributes. But let's get started with the impressive win in Denver, 120-116. They did finish at least what we consider the first half of the season, even though we're past that, but going into All-Star break. They have an impressive record of 41-12, yet are we impressed? I don't know. Getting there, that was an impressive win to me, but they have a few to prove still. So what do you think there, Pat?
It was a good win on the road against a playoff team. And another thing that I thought we're 41-12, correct? I think 41-12.
Yeah.
And supposedly the mark of a true contender is winning your 40th game before the All-Star break. So I know we have a great record, but wins like that against Denver does, you know, give you hope that they should be able to handle themselves in the playoffs.
In Denver, too.
Yeah, that shouldn't be understated.
Yeah, absolutely. Mike?
Hey, you know, I like the fact that we're in first place. You know, I like the fact that we're beating teams that, you know, that are contenders. I still don't see the growl, you know, the growl, the determination, and the mama mentality in them, in a sense where, you know, we're going to actually just go and be ready to take it to them. So I'm still looking for, I'm impressed a little bit, but, you know, I'm not ready to say I'm 100% confident we could go ahead and get that championship, especially with Milwaukee out there, because they play some good basketball as well.
I fully expect them to turn it on. I fully expect to see the intensity picked up. I expect to see them dig. I expect them to see them dive for balls. I expect to see playoff intensity basketball for the rest of the season. That's what I expect to see from this point on. And if we don't see that, then something's wrong with the team. That's how I feel. They can't afford any more sloppy losses or losses against teams they're supposed to win. Not from here on out. It's business.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Definitely. You know, this is time we got to turn on, get in playoff mode, keep that momentum, you know, try to get the home court advantage because it's going to mean a lot.
Now, I heard I was reading the other day a couple things. One, you know, Vogel was saying about Caruso not getting some minutes and not even playing at all, doing some DMPs. Caruso's our secret weapon. Caruso's our secret weapon. That's why he's not getting any minutes. You got to keep the rotation. Got to keep these guys with minutes. Let them know, you know, they have to know what's coming. You know, they have to be prepared mentally. I don't like it. So what? Caruso can do it, but I think he's stronger if he knows that he's coming off the bench or when he's coming in.
Yeah,
I agree. I mean, you know, at this point in time, you got to have your rotation set. You got to know, you know, at 8 minute mark, I'm gonna come in, do, you know, relieve my, you know, I'm the second or third person off the bench. You know, you got to know these things by, you know, 50 games into the season. And the only time that really should change is if there's an injury, in my opinion. So if he was out there, especially with Caruso's plus minus, you know, his plus minus was really, really good. So he wasn't hurting the team at all. So I don't know what they're thinking is that they want to change what they were doing, you know, in the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand it. Maybe he was trying to evaluate other players on the bench. He probably knows what he has with Caruso, but I agree with you guys. You got to make sure that everyone has a consistent rotation and know that they're getting minutes. And so that's the only thing that I disagreed with the coach with. However, once, like Mike said, the plus minus, I think, was like, what, 23? Points, I think the last game of Denver, like 23 points. And I mean, his defense in the fourth quarter turns it around. If he can develop a jump shot, he's almost indispensable for our team. You know, it's kind of like he works for us. He might not work for another team, but I think Caruso does fit really well with our, you know, the players that we have.
I think he's important going into playoffs. I think he's part of the rotation. The rotation's going to shorten. They're not going to go as deep into the bench. And I think he's one of our guys. I think he's there. He's got to be one of our guys. Now's the time. And that means he's got to be getting his rotation minutes. He needs to get into his groove. He needs to know what's coming.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
I'm thinking about, like, if we're looking at the minutes come playoff time, and the three guards as are off the bench will be Caruso, Rondo, and KCP. He's going to have to make a hard decision then who he wants to play because, I mean, honestly, KCP is playing really, really well this year. He actually is a more consistent – I feel more consistent – I mean, more assured of his jump shot than at this point than Danny Green's. And Danny Green is supposed to be the shooter of the two. So I would actually phase Rondo out of that rotation and keep KCP and Caruso as your guards. The only problem is you don't have a ball handler. And so that's the problem. You know, you got to have a ball handler when you have a bench.
Well, you know, you have to plan for playoff Rondo.
Well, I need to see it again. You know, I need to see that. Hopefully, I mean, if you play off Rondo doing 20 points and 10, you know, assists off the bench, then I'm all for it. I mean, he can only do it, but help us. But
mm-hmm. I mean, Rondo had a pretty good game, you know, a couple of games ago where he scored 23 points and
yeah,
you know, so we know what he's capable of. And, you know, I'm not writing off Danny Green either because, you know, I know what he's capable of in the playoffs. I've seen him, you know, make those clutch, you know, very important shots, you know, to be able to change the momentum in the game. So we know what both of them are capable of in the playoffs. I understand what you're saying though, Pat. Like with Rondo, he's so hot and cold. He's gonna hurt you, or he's gonna really, really help you win. There's nothing in the middle. And you
turnovers. It's the turnovers.
You kind of want that consistency all the way through.
Yeah. You have to have it, especially in the playoffs. I mean, turnovers are killers in the playoffs. And if we're just giving the ball away and then we're not playing defense, then, you know, but I mean, playoff Rondo probably will, like, he's just bored and he wants to get to the playoffs. And then he just, like you said, just will just turn it on. But I do, I mean, I do believe, like Jeff said, the intensity will crank up.
Starting now.
Yeah, starting now. I mean, there's nothing else now. There's no more load management. This is just pushing to get the number one seed and a strong run through the playoffs.
We play Memphis on Friday. If the playoffs started today, Memphis is who we'd be playing. So it's time. It's time to start. It's time to pick it up. No more losses. No more losses, really.
Right.
You know, and then again, tightening the rotation. Another rumor I heard, Vogel says Cousins is on track to be ready to play in the playoffs.
Look, I say, let's see what he gives us, because he was in the playoffs against the Warriors. No, not against the Warriors.
With the Warriors.
The Warriors, and I was like, this dude is horrible. So I was not impressed at all by what he gave the Warriors. So I'm not expecting nothing from him, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm not at all. And then it's not like we don't have Dwight Howard. See, that's the thing. See,
JaVale McGee, Dwight Howard.
Like, we need Dwight Howard, so he's going to take Dwight's minutes? No, he's not going to do that. So I'm trying to figure out where is Cousins going to fit, unless it's like Dwight getting stupid foul trouble, and then he's another body. He's just six fouls. But if we're going to expect him to get, like, coming off the bench and scoring 12 points and 8 rebounds, I don't think that's going to happen at all.
Again, if he's expected to be a rotation player in the playoffs, again, shortening that rotation, and all of a sudden you're going to insert Cousins, I think it throws it off. I think it throws it off. How can he even get into game shape, yet alone playoff shape?
Yeah.
I mean, it's good. It's good for him to be there just in case somebody get hurt. But yeah, I mean, I'm not putting him in a major role, as a major role either way.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Guys, we had a awesome voicemail call to the fan hotline. Everyone, call in your thoughts on the fan hotline, 877-311-FANS. Be sure to give it a call. We had Lisa from Long Beach call us, and she wanted to comment about the All-Star game. She thought it was a lot of fun. She thought how it was formatted was great. She really enjoyed the Kobe tribute, even though she's a Jazz fan. So she respects Kobe, of course, and she wanted to make sure she let that be known. But this is what I thought was interesting. Okay. She's an educated fan, but this is what I thought was really interesting. And I think this will bring up a good topic. I mean, that game was competitive for the first time in a long time. That game was competitive. And that leads to her comment where she says the fourth quarter, in her opinion, was managed horribly by Nick Nurse. They had a 9-point lead going into the fourth, only needed 24 points. And he kept the same lineup in for the whole fourth quarter and lost the game for them. Obviously, being a Jazz fan, she was upset that Rudy Gobert did not get more play. So she wanted to see him out there and do his thing and actually play some defense. She said it was really hard to watch him just standing on the sidelines. But she was really happy for the charities and both groups and, you know, the kids and everything definitely deserved the money. So she thought it was a win for everybody. So she thought it was a really great event. So, you know, thank you, Lisa from Long Beach, for calling in and letting us know.
Yeah, thanks, Lisa.
But I thought it was outstanding, top to bottom. The NBA just leads the way. They lead the way in class when it comes to player recognition, whether that's a superstar living, past, present, deceased, it really doesn't matter. They lead the way. It was so classy. Everything that they did, start to finish, this whole all-star game all weekend, I just thought was so classy. It actually makes me proud to say that the NBA is my favorite sport. It really does. And I think other leagues really have to follow that example.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jeff. I mean, one thing is, you know, to piggyback on your point, the NBA doesn't have to wait till the offseason to make a change that is instrumental to how, you know, what's going to happen later on. You know, a quick example, you know, the MLB and when the baseballs were getting, you know, the extending of the net, you know, for the baseball and how to keep it safer. You know, there's this whole hoopla where, well, we have to wait till the off season so that way we can have all the owners get together and all agree on a new policy. NBA doesn't do any of that. They see something that especially, you know, in light of, you know, Kobe and all that, they say, hey, we're going to name this trophy after Kobe, and it's done. You know, that took what, a week or two to decide. They changed the format of how they're going to play the All-Star game, you know, and, you know, so the fact that they are just willing to go with the time and the trend and what they think of at that moment and their eyes are open and they don't have all that red tape than other sports. I mean, I think it's amazing. And, you know, and it seems like everybody's in agreement with it. Like, nobody had any issues or anything like that. So I love how the NBA, you know, to your point, is able to piggyback and be innovative and keep on moving forward for the game.
Yeah. Also, a thought that the way they, like you said, they did a great job. I mean, so much so that you have people from the NFL, some players, they tweeting out like, man, NFL got to do it better with this Pro Bowl thing, you know, because, you know, basically the NBA is just going off. I mean, it's not just the game itself. It's like everything else a part of it. I mean, they have the skills competition. They got the three-point contest. They also have the, you know, slam dunk contest. That's on Saturday. On Friday, they have the celebrity game. And now that's getting more traction. Like, they're taking over the whole weekend. You know, they did a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Almost started on Thursday, to be honest.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy how the NBA is now, how it's being marketed, especially with this. And like you said, I mean, remember how, you know, after Kobe died, you probably heard there was some, not rumors, but just a petition going around to make Kobe the logo, right? So, like, change the logo to make Kobe, to Kobe. Mm-hmm. But I think the NBA knew they couldn't do anything drastic or crazy like that. But at the same time, they had to immortalize Kobe Bryant and let him stay forever as long as they do this All-Star game. And by naming that trophy after him, it kind of like did it justice, you know, because Kobe was an 18-time All-Star. But at the same time, you know, he did take those games very seriously. You know, he played with intensity when it came to those guys. I mean, And the way they did the format, you know, having the different charities, you know, having the total scores and the highest score, adding 24 points, and that be the target score. Everything was perfect. They had it nailed down. I mean, at first everybody was kind of like, I don't know if this is going to work. And then they saw it work. And then they said, well, damn, you know, the intensity in the fourth quarter were like playoffs. So and you and that was created by having that, you know, having them with no clock. You know, it was they did a really good job. I mean, I have to commend the NBA on a great, great product.
It was just amazing. I mean, to switch it up so drastically. And when those rules first came out, when the change, what? I don't even get it. I don't understand. It was great. It was outstanding. Right. The players loved it. You know, you saw that obviously in their effort, but seriously, even the players that didn't play in the fourth quarter, they loved it. They were into it. The crowd loved it. Everyone loved it. Lisa from Long Beach loved it. Everyone loved it. It was outstanding.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the when you're watching a game and you see the Team LeBron team, you know, with all the kids and then the other team, Giannis team, and they're going back and forth. And
the kids are cheering. That was great.
And they're excited, like, oh, my God, we're going to win. You know what I mean? Like, it definitely makes them want to, you know, they're playing for the, they're playing for the kids. So yeah, it's definitely an amazing thing.
Yeah, it was cool. I thought it was amazing. I just
now, I guess the question would be, do you think they would keep this format, or do you think they would go back to the regular point total? I mean, it's almost like they opened Pandora's box with this. Now we got a taste of it, and we might want more of this. I mean, maybe they'll make it 24 points, you know, but make it, like I said, 25 points or something else, a round number.
Keep it 24. I love it. Just keep it 24.
I'm okay with the 24. And I, of course, us being Laker fans, I would love the 24. I just think they did that for Kobe, and I don't know if they wanted to just, if that's going to be embedded into the, you know, into the game. It might be a cool little tribute to Kobe for, you know, forever. But yeah, I mean, I like the format the way it is right now. If they didn't tweak it, it'd be great just as is.
I mean, I think they should. I mean, I think if it was great, you know, it definitely was great for them to have it. I don't see any reason why they should tweak it. I mean, everybody, you know, it becomes a normal thing in about 5 years. And nobody, I mean, you know, obviously we know how it got started. But if it worked as well as it did, everybody's loving it, you know, just go ahead and just make it a new tradition.
I could see them changing, perhaps somehow tweaking it so that somehow you can't win on a free throw, you know, just to make it a little bit more exciting. But you know, I'll leave that up to them, because they created this game and those rules and that format, and it was amazing, outstanding. So I'll just leave it to NBA, because they just do an outstanding job. I won't even second guess them. Yeah. Outstanding. Another thing, guys, really quick. I think this is pretty big news. I don't know if you heard this, but the G League players are going to unionize.
Right. I saw that. I think that's interesting. I think that's, man, you know, the thing about the G League unionizing, they're going, the NBA pays them. You know, so it's not necessarily the individual, like it's not the Lakers, Jazz or whatever. It's the NBA pays them. And they already gave them a raise. So, you know, where they had a pretty decent salary. I don't know. I understand that they're progressive, but I mean, I think that they, I don't know if that's really necessary. I feel like prior to the pay raise that they gave everybody, you know what I mean? Because now it seems like they almost kind of have a little raise for what, the 6 months. I think it was a 50. Maybe if I'm wrong, about $55,000 a year is what they get paid.
I think it was 25 to 35.
Yeah, but you know, and then they also get room and board and food and
perks. Yeah, they do get. There's other perks.
And, you know, and, you know, $35,000 to pay what, you know, what about 5 months out the season is not horrible. That's way better than the $15,000.
You know, but here's the problem, and this is where I hope that the players' union will help. Journeyman. You have, you know, players like Ingram, Andre. You know, do they want these players? I mean, essentially, if they don't give these guys, you know, periodic raises based on their years in the league, and this is something that the union can help. If they're not, then what is their reason to stay longer than X amount of time once they know that they don't, you know, have a shot, or they're not getting their shot? More players are going to leave. They're not going to stay. So you're not going to have any veterans in the G League. Everyone's going to leave. So if we can at least, you know, get something that, hey, if you're a 6-year, if you're an 8-year, if you're a 10-year, if you're, you know, an Andre Ingram, at least, you know, this guy can make a living. He can stay in the league. He knows that if he can at least maintain his status in the league, in the G League, that he's at least going to someday get to this, you know, wage salary or something. So I kind of hope that would happen. I like that.
Yeah. Pat, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm still here.
Any thoughts on that for the players?
I mean, I think it would be good for, you know, just, you know, like you said before, it's for not the young. The young ones are always are going to get picked up because they're like, you know, they're trying them out or they have those two-way contracts. But, yeah, the journeymans, I think it would more it'd be beneficial for them. But I don't know. I just need to read more about it to know if it's going to be like what they're going to do long term. I guess they have to now with a union, right? They don't really do those things temporarily. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it would probably benefit the older ones than it would because those guys are going to automatically. I mean, if they're good enough, they're going to either play either in G League or they're going to play overseas or something like that.
Yeah, at least they have incentive to stay and keep trying.
Right.
You know, and keep giving it a shot. They have something. I mean, they can tell their families, you know, that they're working towards something, you know, not just a $35,000 kick every year, you know, and that's it. That's it. Doesn't matter how long they're in there. That's what they're getting.
I wonder, probably also, what's their medical benefits, you know? Are they surgeries and all that stuff taken care of? If not, I think that would be definitely a reason to unionize so you could get those medical, you know, expenses to be taken care of.
Exactly. Long term. A lot of basketball injuries, like, well, you know, not necessarily while they're playing, but they come in long term and they need care. So, you know, if you're in the G League right now, is there any safety net for you? Right. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe even a pension or, you know, something like that. So, yeah, I mean, look, I work for a union job, you know, and I appreciate everything it does. But at the same time, you know, you know, when you try to build it up, you know it's going to be a struggle in the beginning. Like, if they decide to say we're going to go on strike, is the NBA really going to, you know, are they going to fold the league if they decide to, you know, go on strike? Is it worth it to keep them going? Are they making that much money off of the G League? You know, those are the factors that concerns me on how rogue, you know, they want to be. You know what I mean?
Well, don't forget, though, yeah, obviously, yeah, the G League players may not have as much power as you think, but even as a players union, but I think they'll be closely related to the NBA players union. And the NBA players union will have something to say, and they'll flex some muscle for their younger players that are coming into the league. And eventually the players that will be running the NBA players union will be players that maybe came out of the G League.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think that the only way that would work is if they're protected under a similar contract, you know, under like a different appendix, but one the same format or class under the main union of the NBA. Because if not, then I think you lose all flexibility.
I think there has to be some sort of fluidity between the two because you have two-way players, G League players, NBA players bouncing back and forth.
Right. Yeah. I was going to say that because I'm thinking Talen Horton Tucker, he was drafted by the Lakers in the second round, and he was then sent to the G League to develop. However, if he's drafted by the Lakers, I would think that he would be part of the Players Association at that point. I think in some way the G League players will be incorporated into, you know, the union in some way. That's my guess. I really don't know, but I would tend to guess that.
That would make sense. All right, guys, we're getting into now last third of the season, I guess we can call it. We talked about it a little bit. I think it's time to dig in. I think it's time to fight. I think it's time to show every game what this team is made of. I just think it means everything right now. So from here on out, what do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, at this point, you know, we got to be ready to go. We got to push. We got to try to have the best second half of the season that we can and, you know, and have full momentum going to the playoffs. You know, that's what I say.
Yeah, just looking forward, I think we should be able to win 60 games. I mean, that should be in sight. That should be a goal. And also, you know, there's going to be some more statement games in the second half of the season because, you know, you're going to play more of your conference. So there's going to be, like, I mean, just like you were saying, Jeff, the next game, I guess, is going to be against, you know, the Grizzlies. That's already a budding or on the bubble playoff team. I don't know, they're actually the 8th seed right now. So
yeah, they're pretty solid in the 8th seed, too.
Yeah, yeah. So they're not on the bubble. They're actually in the playoff hunt. That's going to be a good test.
They're four games up on Portland in the loss column, so they're pretty secure in there.
Yeah, so you know we're gonna have to like earn it, and I think we will be able to have. There might be another surprise on our bench, you know, or you know somebody that we see right now that might just turn it on and take us to another level. If say Danny Green is now shooting 42% from three. Since the All-Star break, that's something that we haven't had in there. And just that little bit, that can get us into, you know, a team that's not struggling for offensive buckets, you know, because that's where sometimes in our half court we're struggling to find, you know, some, you know, points and shot of the offense. So, yeah, I mean, just those things, I think that can happen, you know, and I'm pretty optimistic about it.
I think it's time for Davis to start banging down low. I think, all right, he's had enough, you know, playing out on the perimeter. It's time to dig and start playing down low and establish our rim presence. I think that'll open up the outside a lot. I think we really need to focus on that.
Oh, I know also, because we haven't really touched on it, but I don't know if I would say concerned, but – it seems though Kuzma is being phased out of the fourth quarter. So, and you can, you know, hindsight is 2020, right? So we can easily say, why didn't we make a trade for something to help us? But if he's being sidelined or marginalized right now and not playing in the fourth quarter, what is he giving? What is his contribution going for? Like, how is he going to now all of a sudden be the Kuzma that we want him to be? Because I don't know if Vogel even has that confidence in to even play him in the fourth quarter. They'd rather go big with Dwight and AD than go small with AD playing a five and, you know, Kuzma playing small ball. So I don't know where Kuzma is now going to fit in this, because we're going to need him. If we're going to win this championship, Kuzma got to be the person that we, you know, the player that we think he's supposed to be. So –
I think Kuzma's got about five games to establish his position.
Okay.
And get his minutes, about five more games this season. If he doesn't and he's still teetering, I think he loses his minutes and that's about it, unless something drastic happens. I also think that if Danny Green's not hitting his shots, if these players aren't hitting, these 0 minutes for Troy, 0 minutes for Quinn, I get it, name power, but – stats got to produce. Stats got to produce. We're going to need shots, and we're going to need these guys. We're going to eventually dig into this rotation in the playoffs, and you know, these guys got to be ready. And if they're not playing, they're not getting minutes for games. I just, you know. And I know it's hard. There's, you know, only so many minutes go around, but still, you know, they got to get in there. They got to get in the rotation, at least I think.
Right.
All right, guys. Well, this has been great. Another great podcast from the Profanity Nation. As always, be sure to follow us on Instagram. Our Instagram followings are growing. We love you. Follow us on YouTube, Facebook, wherever. And it's always The Profanity Nation or at The Profanity Nation. Money Mike, Stat Pat, Krasimsta, we're out.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.